Today's episode, we have a newer friend of mine, Miss Hannah Brown. She is one of America's sweethearts, and she is truly as fun, wonderful, and Southern adorable as you've seen her to be on The Bachelorette and Dancing with the Stars. I just love this girl. So let's go have coffee with Hannah Brown. Hello, and welcome to Coffee with Kaylee. I do this. I catch up with my friends before we hit record. I'm like, what are we doing? It's time to do our podcast. Like, we need this all recorded because we just lost valuable information. I have Miss Hannah Brown with me, by the way.
Hi, guys.
This is Hannah Brown. We're newer friends.
Yes.
This podcast is a range of new friends, old friends. I mean, I might even have the lady at the grocery store be like, you know what? You're my new friend. You should come be at my podcast. That's my vibe for the podcast.
I'm the same way.
And you just moved to Nashville.
Yes.
And we're so happy to have you.
I'm so happy to be here.
I'm just so glad.
I love it. Everybody, it's just been so kind and welcoming. I just feel at peace here. I'm so thankful. We both have lived in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
So it's lovely. It was great for that season of life. But I'm originally from Alabama. So being back in the South, but also in a place that has so much going on, and like, I'm inspired like anytime I meet somebody and everywhere I look. I love that I get that, but here in the South,
mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yes, totally. It's busy. Like, we weren't full-time in L.A. My brother and his wife had an apartment out there that we, like, sublet.
Yeah.
And we would just get to go here and there. And it was nice to, like, go there and then come home.
So yes.
Being there full-time, I think I would have been very worn out.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
But it's also so great. And I feel
beautiful.
Like
beautiful.
It's can't beat stunning. It. You can't beat it. But I will say this past year, the weather was so bad there that I'm thankful that happened. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm glad that everybody has really bad weather in California when, like, that's not normal, but it made it a little bit.
It gave you the push you needed.
Yeah, I'm like,
you're like,
okay.
Well, the perk to this place is the weather is flawless.
Yeah.
And if that goes away, I'm out.
And then that's it smells. Fair. All the smells come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just being in, like, a very, like, overpopulated place, you're like,
I'm ready to go.
I'm good.
And we're happy to have you. Where is your boyfriend from? Tell us about him. His name is Adam.
Yes. He is from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay.
We met in California, but before he moved to California, he lived here for like 7 years.
In Nashville?
Yes.
Look at the Lord. Wouldn't you just look at him?
I know. And I always wanted to live here. Like, this has always been
this
like the dream.
Vibe.
Even though I never went when I was younger, I'm like, yeah. I think I'm going to live in Nashville. My college friends, I saw them this past weekend for a baby shower, and they're like, yeah, I mean, you used to say you're just going to move there. I'm like, now I'm here.
Now you're here.
So it was cool that, like, he was so down for it, and he loved his time here. So we're just both really happy. It wasn't like anybody was settling or we didn't really have to. And this, I mean, it's always compromise, but we didn't, like, have to, like, compromise that much about moving here. I was like, okay, let's do this.
Yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah.
We're here because we saw each other at Russell's EP release party. Mm-hmm. And you were like, hey, I am starting a podcast. And I was like, so excited for you. So I want to talk about that because we're doing a little podcast swap, if you will.
Yes.
Like, I'm coming on yours, you're coming on mine. And are you, like, loving it? Like, I feel like you'll just be so good at it.
Yes, I am loving it when I hit my stride.
Yeah.
It's just been a lot of, like, running really, really hard and really fast. And there's moments where I'm like, okay, I'm, like, out of breath. I need to, like, pause for a second. It's a lot more work than people think it is. Mm-hmm. It's not just I get to come sit and talk with you. There's a lot of, like, people that are involved. A lot, for me, like, it feels like a lot of opinions and everybody's just, like, scheduling.
Scheduling is
not
hard.
My thing.
Yeah. Me neither. You were very easy to schedule with, though. That was a dream, honestly.
Well, thank you. But I tried. That's also the thing. I'm like, yeah, I'll just make it work. We're going to make it work.
Yeah.
But yes, that's also because we did it. Like, we have that relationship where you just message me when, like, all the people get involved. That's hard.
Yeah, that's tiring.
And yeah. So I feel now that it's, like, happening, yes, mm-hmm. I'm loving it. I feel like there are moments where I'm like, oh, yeah, I can do this. But I need those moments because I'm very, like, I'm self-aware, but also like super critical. Like mm-hmm. I don't need anybody else to, like, point out what I did wrong. Like I know it.
I'm the same. Yes.
So when I have those moments where I'm like, oh, I did. That was okay.
Yeah.
That was good. It was. Like, yeah. I don't have. Did you ever like go into like a job interview or something? People are like, how'd it went? And you're like, oh, I don't know. We'll see. And it's like, oh, they're like, oh, I'm sure it was really great. Nope. If I say it was bad, it was bad.
I am brutally honest with myself.
Yeah. I'm like, no, that was bad. So yeah, I'm having more moments of feeling like, okay, this is something that I really enjoy and that I can do. Mm-hmm. But starting anything new is overwhelming. And the fear that comes in mm-hmm. and the doubt, it's just having to like continue to step forward through those voices, yes. I think. And I'm continuing to do it.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And I feel exactly the same way. And yeah. it's so funny as like a podcaster, like your first day on the job is public. It is like, hey, come listen to me learn how to do this. And I've made mistakes. There are things that I wish I could change or whatever. And I'm like, you know what? It's just a learning process. And you're going to get, like anything, you're going to get more confident and better at it. Hopefully, we're getting better at it as it goes. But I don't know. You know, I like for mine to be just as if we're actually just like catching up, having coffee. And it's going to be less polished. It's going to be messier. And I like it that way, but I also can be so critical and, well, let's edit that or do this or, you know, and I'm trying to let it go.
Yeah.
You know, and just enjoy it. Taking a short break to share something fun. Y'all know I'm all about simple, easy wellness. And can we just all agree that sleep is the highest form of wellness? Looking at my fellow parents out there. So make sleep your simplest and best self-care routine with the Hatch Restore 2. It's like having your own sleep superhero right by your bedside. The Hatch Restore 2 is your ultimate sleep companion, combining a sound machine, bedside light, and an alarm clock in one sleek package. And it's so pretty, guys. Here's the deal. Your Hatch gently guides your body to know when it's time to hit the hay and when it's time to rise and shine, all through a calming light and soothing sounds. It's like having a sleep coach right on your nightstand. It leads you through meditations or mindfulness exercises that turn your pre-sleep and wake-up routines into rejuvenating rituals. It is so dreamy, my friends. I have been loving our Hatch Restore too. The sound machine is so soothing, and I can't wait to use it for us and our littlest man when he gets here. Even just the simple clock has been such a game changer for me, so I can see the time throughout the night without touching my phone. The alarm sounds are so soothing, so you can wake up to a gentle sunrise if you're wanting some time to yourself before the kids wake you up, or if you don't have kids waking you up. Right now, Hatch is offering our listeners $20 off your purchase of a Hatch Restore 2 and free shipping at hatch.co/CWK. Sleep deeply and wake gently with the Restore 2. Go to hatch.co/CWK to get $20 off and free shipping. That's hatch.co/CWK. Hi, friends. Just taking another break to share with you about an incredible company that understands the value of a good night's sleep. Dreamland Baby. Dreamland Baby knows when your baby sleeps better, you sleep better. And that's why I'm excited to share their most popular products with you, the Dream Weighted Sleep Sack. The Dream Weighted Sleep Sack is incredible. It is designed to help your little one enjoy deeper and more restful sleep. And you know what they say, when the baby sleeps, the whole family sleeps better. I personally cannot wait to try the Dream Weighted Sleep Sack when little man gets here. So many of my friends saw such a difference in using the Weighted Sleep Sack that I went ahead and purchased it as soon as I found out we were pregnant. So when they wanted to partner with the podcast, I was thrilled. I literally had already bought it for myself. They all told me their little ones fell asleep faster and stayed asleep longer. And Lord knows we are going to appreciate that in the coming weeks. So now here's the exciting part. You can experience the magic of Dream Weighted Sleep Sack for yourself. And guess what? Dreamland Baby is offering my listeners an exclusive deal. Use the code COFFEEWITHKAYLEE to save 20% off site-wide. Go to dreamlandbabyco.com and enter my code COFFEEWITHKAYLEE at checkout to receive 20% off site-wide and free shipping. This offer is for new and existing customers. Back to our episode.
Actually, my first episode, that's what I talk about with this podcast, how There's nothing I think as vulnerable as starting a podcast, because there is no, I mean, there's a little bit of editing that you can do, but at the same time, I can't make sure that I'm the best I can be before I start, because then I'll never start, because the only way to get better is to keep doing it. And I've really struggled with that, because I do think I've excelled in a lot of things that I've done.
Yes, sometimes, which I can't wait to talk about. Sometimes I'm Dancing with the Stars champion.
I'm like, how? I don't know. But I think that it's, now there's like a pressure that everything that I do has to be really good. And then the other side of that is knowing that failure is always going to, you're going to fail at something. And I'm like waiting for the thing that I'm going to fail at. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this going to be it? So really having to allow myself to grow publicly and know that, hey, my first episode, it's probably not going to be my best episode. And that's okay.
And that's okay.
Has been one of the hardest like learning lessons through all this. But I'm just so thankful for people that have like supported me, like fans, but also like my friends and family that can like champion around me and be like, okay, no, you are getting better. This was awesome. You should be proud of yourself. Like, this is what you're supposed to do right now. And just go full in and know that, like, there can be some edits. And
yes, if you need them, they are there.
There can be some edits. But also, like, I think also for your podcast as well, like, I don't try to put on a show that I'm anything else other than like a little bit of a mess and like trying to work through it. And I think people really want to see that.
Yeah.
There's so many other places that people can go for a curated, filtered, perfect looking aesthetic and sound. And I think people really just want to hear somebody that sounds like them.
Yeah, totally. And It's true of anything. I think it was like Reese Witherspoon had some reel or some post that was just like, just start. Like, it's never going to be perfect. You only get better so no matter what it is, whatever you're looking at in front of you, if you're driving to your job or on a walk with your friends, like, there's something you want to start, but you're afraid to start because you don't think you're going to be good enough at it. And I want to say that was me with this. And
that was me.
We all feel like that. And we all, even coming into this new season, season 3, Coffee with Kaylee, I haven't done this in a while. And I was like getting nervous and stressed. And like we were talking about before we hit record, I canceled dinner with my friends last night because they were like, can we get together? And I was like, I'm going to be completely honest, I'm a little overwhelmed. Like, Russell was supposed to be here this week while I'm recording and he's not. And so I'm a solo parent. Thank God for grandparents. My mom stayed the night last night, saved my life, basically, so I could get ready this morning and be here. And, like, you just got to do it. I'm disclaimer, this is not going to be the perfect podcast. And that's okay. And I need that. Are you an Enneagram person?
Yes.
Are you a 3?
I am.
I knew it.
Are you a 3?
Yes.
What's your, I'm a 3 and 4, though.
I'm a 2.
I knew you were going to be a 2. I wish I was a 2.
But that's our struggle as 3s of, like, it's not good enough.
Yeah.
Is it going to fail? If it's going to fail, I won't even do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, like, not even an option to fail. So you want everything to be perfect, and then you wait too long to do it because it's never going to be perfect.
Yeah. And
ever.
Then the times pass, and then you could have, like, I don't know. I mean, I think everything does, like, work out, but there's a few things right now in my life that I'm like, I've been so on the like back burner of doing, like, should I try? This podcast is the first thing that, like, just I kind of was just thrown into it too. Yeah. I don't think I had a choice. Like, okay, this is when it's airing. I'm like, okay.
Which is this week, which is so exciting. By the time this episode airs, it will have been out for a little while.
Okay.
But I'm just so excited for you. Like,
thank
what
you.
I learned in this, and I think anyone listening, whatever it is that you're afraid to start, I thought it was going to be for everyone else. Like, it was going to help other people, or it was going to just be something to do, or all these different things. But it ended up being so beneficial for myself. And even as a mom, like, for me to get out of the house, go have adult conversations. And I just love it. I would do it forever. Like, if I had the capacity, I don't, honestly. But I, when I can do it, I really want to do it. And it's so good for me, too. When I just thought it was kind of like, oh, I'll do this and other people will get to hear from my friends. Like, I feel so thankful. Not the kind of community that I get to have, I feel like, is so rare. And I know it's rare. And I want to share that. Like, yeah. I want other people. There's so many people who don't have great community or don't have great friends or don't have someone to talk to. And I'm like, you know what? I'll share my people.
And then I think that's really cool for people to see, like, this is what your community, I don't want to say like should be like, but I think a lot of times I have people message me about like, oh, I have a hard time with like friends. Like friends, I don't want to say this like mean, but like you should be able to have these type of conversations. Mm. I think it's inspiring to know that there are people out there that you can have friends that are really going to support you. I've had a few friends in my life come in and be like, man, I've never had somebody like really show up for me. It doesn't mean they have to like physically be there, but like listen to me and work out problems and be able to handle conflict in relationships and like friendships. And I think it's really cool that you can like at least be an example and inspire people that to know that like there are people like that in your life.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Like, no, it does. And I'm curious too, because for those of you who don't know, Miss Hannah Brown was the Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. She goes, we won't talk on this. Is not your identity, all right?
No.
This is, but it is part of your story. And I'm curious if you had friendships change in that process and like how you navigated that. Like, what did community look like? Because I think one of the most insane parts of that show is you don't have friends for however long. Like,
you don't have your phone.
You don't have your phone and you're alone with like a million dudes.
Yeah.
Like that.
And like people who are trying to make a TV show.
Yeah.
Of your life.
Of your life.
And that's all the only other person that you have to talk to.
Right.
That's not a friend.
Right.
Sometimes it gets like you feel like it is.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm out of it, it's like it's not. And I'm not like blaming them. They're doing that's their job. But that was a really hard season of my life. And honestly, I feel like I'm just now coming back to a season of feeling like I have true community and that I've reconnected with some of my friends, because I think I lost a bit of myself and all that. Mm. I think it's really hard not to. And I did that because I isolated, because my friends, my true friends that knew me before everything, we couldn't relate anymore. And they wanted to get in, but sometimes like not even in my control, they couldn't know what was going on. And then I had gone through so much that I'm like, I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
To tell you how I feel. And maybe there's some like shame and just like just sadness or overwhelm that I can't even get to right now. I won't be able to keep going.
Mm.
And a real friend is going to bring that out of you.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, no. I'm going to have to find shallow relationships because I can't go there right now.
Well, and you were transplanted, right?
Like, yes.
You're not at home.
I wasn't
anymore.
At home.
You don't have your besties with you.
No, I don't have them, but I know now, like, I was making even subconsciously, sometimes consciously, decisions of like, oh, I don't want to be around people who actually can care and can get me to tell them how I feel, because I just can't go there.
Hmm.
So it's taken a lot of healing. And I did meet other friends in Santa Monica that are like true, like living out in California community and girlfriends that I love. But it was a journey. And I had a lot of friends that had to stick with me through it. And my friends are always just like, yeah, I'm here. I'm waiting for when you're ready.
Yeah.
Man, I love you.
You love a good friend.
Oh, I know.
Those are
the
ones.
Best. And now that I'm closer, a lot of my friends are in Birmingham, Alabama. I was there Sunday for a friend's baby shower and got to see all my friends from college. I'm like, oh, it just feels so good to even just be able to be closer and be able to connect more and be here in these like incredible seasons of their life. I missed a lot of that.
Yeah.
Missed a lot of them getting married and meeting their boyfriend that turned into their husband. I miss weddings. I missed a lot. So now a lot of my friends are having babies for the first time. And I'm like, no, I don't care if it's a 4-hour, 3-hour drive. Like, I can do it. I feel like it's not like I feel guilty. It's like, I just want to be there.
Yeah. I feel like that like comes with age too, is
you realize friendships aren't a given. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like, I don't know, early 20s, it's like, yeah, well, I can miss that because, like, you know, there's going to be more or this or that. And then you get older and you're like, oh, no, I am only going to have what I've cultivated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only going to, in 10 years, in 20 years, I'm only going to have the friendships that I show up for.
Yeah.
And so which ones are worth that to
me? Yeah. And I've honestly made, there are some friendships that I lost along the way. It was a big learning lesson of what you said, like, you have to cultivate those friendships and care for them and be there when you can. And when you can't, like, show up in some other way. I think in your 20s, you're like always just meeting new people and you're like, you have a bunch of friends that aren't really your friends, and you have to realize, like, those are acquaintances, but, like, you really need to go deep into those, like, three or four people that are, like,
those are your people. Yeah. And those are the ones that will read your mail. Like, mm-hmm. I have them. I'm like, I know if I walked in a room and they would be like, she is not okay. Like, those are the ones.
Yep.
You know? And for me, those, I mean, gosh, we've been friends for like 16 years, but I've been in Nashville for a long time now, you know? And, but I do think there's something really sweet about this city in community. And that was one of the first things, so sweet. You asked, like, where do you guys go to church? I'm like, and I get asked that a lot. Like, how do you guys find friend? How do I find good friends? How do I, whatever? And honestly, mine started in college, but we also go to church together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the people that just show up, like, come literal hell or high water.
Yeah.
Like, those are the people. And you want to look at what's around them, what kind of friendships they have, and their track record as a friend. And you can just tell a lot pretty quickly when you meet someone and get to know who their friends are, if they're going to be there for you.
Yes. And that was one thing it's hard. It's a lot harder sometimes living in Los Angeles because everybody's like there for just seasons of their life. Everybody's just like trying to make their dream happen. There's not a lot. You have to try really, really hard to have community. We were just now getting there, and it was through our church. And so when we moved here and made the decision, like, that was our, like, what is, like, the number one thing we want to make sure that we're plugged into is, like, we want to find a church, and we want to find community and, like, people that we really want to pour into and know that they're going to pour into us.
Mm-hmm.
But that is hard, especially as adults, when, like, you're moving to a new place. I genuinely didn't have, like, close friends here when I moved.
Yeah.
So I had to also.
Well, we're here.
But
we're here
also,
to be your friends.
Like, it was good for me because then I had to start reaching out and be like, hey.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'd like to be your friend.
Yeah. No, honestly, I wanted to talk about that because I think a lot of making friends is being brave. And you did that.
Yeah.
You were like, hey, we're moving. We would love to be friends. And, like, we had met before, obviously.
Yes.
And we met at the Thomas Rhett concert.
Yes. That was
Wild. In Orange Beach? Where was that? Orange Beach?
Because I tried to go, like, it was right after the show.
Yes.
My mom just got me a ticket with them. And it was literally right after, or, like, in.
It was madness.
It was madness.
And we were at front of house. I was like, I will keep you safe.
Yes.
You can come with me.
It was so fun, though.
It was so fun. If you've never been to a Thomas Rhett show, it's a great time.
Yes.
You might become friends with Hannah Brown there.
Yeah, but Russell performed first.
Yeah,
though, right?
Yeah.
So it was just, it was such a good time. And then
We just stayed in touch. Yeah.
Yeah. And so moving here, there was like I was like, okay, I'm just going to have to reach out and be like, hey.
How are you?
And that feels uncomfortable because you don't want to be rejected. You don't know if there's some people like,
sure,
I'll go to coffee with you. And you know they don't want to. Like, there is a part of you that just has to put yourself out there. But it was so important for me to do that. And honestly, it's been going really great so far. And I've just met so many people that I'm like, oh, like, I want to be a part of your life. And I want you to be a part of mine.
Yeah.
And
well, I just
special.
Hope that encourages someone that, like, even the former bachelorette, you know, Miss Alabama. Weren't you Miss Alabama?
I was.
Miss Alabama and Dancing with the Stars champion has a hard time, has to, like, get up the courage to be like, hey, do you want to be friends? Do you want to hang out? Like, that I think people assume that would be a given, or like, of course people are going to want to be your friend, or that would be easy for you. But it's just not. No matter
it's
where
not
you're at
all.
It's scary. We all like went to middle school and high school. Mm-hmm. I don't care how famous you are, like how whatever. We all have stuff from those very formative years that really translate. Like, I have to fight constantly with myself of like old wounds, like that aren't true or whatever. Like, I just have to get out of my own head and get out of my own way too. Like, leaving social situations, being like, did I say that right? Or could I have hurt their feelings saying it that way? Or was that that, like, I used to just rattle in my brain after being around people. And Russ was like, you have got to stop. And I was like, I know. Like, we all do it. We all have our stuff.
Oh, I've been doing that a lot lately.
Yeah.
See, I'm having new conversations with people I don't know. It seems like every day at this point, meeting somebody new. And sometimes I'm like, I definitely just overshared.
Vulnerability hangover.
That is like my problem. Is I'm like, okay, I'm trying to find a connection. So I'm going to give you like, I call them like big T traumas, little T traumas. I'm like, okay, I'm going to throw out a little T trauma. Let's see what you're going to throw back. Oh, that's not going to work. Okay, I'm gonna pull out a big T.
Let me just chuck a big T.
All right, let's see. How are you feeling? Up.
What kind of big T you got for us today? Hey, this is a safe place. People cry here. People laugh here. You can share whatever you want here.
It's just I had this happen like last week where I think I was just trying to connect so much. That I do think it allows other people in the like group to share, but I'm like, okay. Some people are not going to want to get that deep that soon. But honestly, are those my people?
Yeah, I usually do.
Because I do.
I'm a deep end part of the pool.
I don't want to really just like go around the table like saying what our favorite color is. No, I want to know like, how are you feeling right now? Mm-hmm. And don't say happy, mad, or sad. I want to know what feeling is under that happy, matter, sad.
Yeah. Did you do a good bit of therapy like during the show or after the show?
Oh, no, I'd never done therapy.
Never?
Never.
Still never?
No, now.
Oh,
a lot.
Oh. We love therapy around here.
Now,
feels like a therapy awareness.
Yes. Oh. I started therapy during COVID. I just felt like it was just, I am at rock bottom. This is bad. Like I said, I had isolated myself from everyone. Because I knew it was bad, but I couldn't handle it. So then it just had to like really just get to where it's like, okay, here's all my crap and I don't know what to do. And yeah, I got into therapy and it's been great. It's been so hard and it's been a long journey in the past, like, gosh, two years that I've been in it. But it's been really great, and I've learned a lot about myself and why I do the things that I do and why these patterns are in my life and how to stop them and how to change them, make boundaries.
Yes,
yeah, we've been
love
a lot.
To see it.
Yeah. And now I'm doing EMDR therapy and like inner family systems, so like getting into those big T traumas and doing a lot of like PTSD work so that this does not like control my life. But I also can learn tools for when things do come up that I can self-soothe, or also know what type of relationships I should have in my life that I can like go to somebody and say like, hey, this is how I'm feeling right now. I'm not okay. Can you give me space, or can you be here for me? Like, I didn't know how to do that before. So this is all really new for me, but I've gone like real deep in it.
That's
real fast.
Amazing.
And I love it.
Have you and Adam done it together? Or
we have.
You have. Yeah. Couples therapy already.
We did couples therapy like really soon after we started dating, because obviously as dating on a TV show, I think for some people has worked and they're married and great. But there is a lot of us that it doesn't work out for. And there can be a lot of trauma that comes from that, of just like trust issues. But I found out through all the work that I've done that it started way before that. And how am I going to be able to allow my nervous system to be okay in a safe relationship? It didn't know how to do that. My nervous system is used to chaos and kind of like that's where it feels normal. And so with being with somebody that is so just like a safe place to be, regulates me, good to me, that's when I like start to freak out, which is so weird.
Yeah.
But learning that and being like, hey, like, I'm a little bit of a crazy pants. Are you sure you want to be on this ride with me? Because I've been so, I was so upfront when he started to pursue me. I'm like, this is how I am. I don't know fully how I feel with dating, but I really like you. But this is going to be a journey because, like, I'm just now starting therapy. And trust me, like, I got a lot.
We got a ways
to go through. So, yeah, he was really down. He had never done therapy before. Like, his first therapy was coming with me. And then he kind of also has now done his own stuff, like worked with a life coach. He's done more like life coach stuff. So he kind of went on that journey and has been just really supportive with me on mine. And is always there if like, hey, like I need to talk to you about something, or will you join in this session so you can kind of understand why I do these things. And it can be a therapist can be there to help facilitate the conversation, because sometimes that's hard.
Yeah.
With people.
For sure. We same time, actually. It was COVID that we started doing it. Mm-hmm. And because I was like, we don't have time. We're never home. Like, I was like, well,
don't have
all those excuses are gone. So I guess, and I think in my own issues, in my own, I wouldn't say I don't have a lot of capital T traumas, fortunately, but in my own little T traumas, I was afraid that once we cracked something open, it would be just a whole mess, you know? And I was like, I need runway on both sides to have room to really process if we crack something wide open.
Yeah.
Turns out we didn't. Thank God. But my own trauma was prepared for that to happen. And so, and there's probably people who are afraid to start therapy because of something like that.
And see, I'm so the opposite of like, I am scared. A lot of people are like, why aren't you married? Why aren't you engaged? I'm like, trust me. Like, he would have done that.
Oh, sweet.
Like, a while ago. It's kind of my own stuff. And I'm like, no. We have to figure all, like, I need the cracks to come out. Like, where are they?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to then be, like, in something and feel like I made the wrong decision. Because one of my things that I tell myself is, like, oh, you can't trust yourself. So making any type of, like, commitments are now, they weren't always, but after some things, is scary to me because I'm like, oh, you don't know how to make decisions for yourself.
Yeah.
Just like, like, how can I trust myself to, like, is this okay? Like, right. A good thing to commit to. So for me, I'm like trying to find every crack.
Yeah.
And like,
I did that. I did that dating. I totally did. But that COVID.
But I get, now you're committed.
Yeah, we'd been married for 8 years. And
so
I was
that's
like,
why.
Oh, no.
Yes.
What if we find out something we never uncovered, you know, at that time? Now we've been married 10 whole years, which is insane to me.
That's so amazing.
It's great. I mean, I'm so thankful. And I'm thankful it's him. And I can say from meeting Adam for like a whole 10 minutes the other night, like, what an angel man.
He's an angel man.
Like, he was like, we were talking about your podcast and just the way he was like supporting you and like asking. He's like, ask her, you know?
I was like, no.
I was like, ask me what? And then you were like, well, I'm doing a podcast. And I was like, I would love to do it. And it was just like so sweet to see him champion you. And
he is,
it was adorable.
He's amazing. He does my pre-prep for all my interviews because he likes it. And he wants to help me because he knows I do get overwhelmed quickly. And so for him, he's not like that at all. He's very regimented, keeps his cool.
How did y'all meet?
We met on a dating app.
Stop it.
We did.
Guys.
We did. And it's so funny because I was getting over a guy that was just obviously like, if so many of us like, oh, well, I know he likes me, but he's not this way. It's like, no, if you wanted to, he would. That's
yeah,
it.
I'm there
like,
it is.
Could, should have, would have, would have.
He wanted to, yes.
He would. And I finally was like, after something happened that like didn't show up, I'm just like, I'm done with this. Like,
I'm glad you did.
And I booked a trip to Cabo with my girlfriend and she was like, you should just, let's just make you a dating app profile. It won't take long. And she did. And like, I went on like only 3 dates before I met Adam. It was really quick.
Good.
I was
We're not happy to hear that.
I was not like on the app for a long time at all. But I was doing it to like just kind of like get back into just meeting normal people, dating, like just trying to date. So I wasn't really like wanting to be in a relationship. And he was like, no, I want to pursue you.
Sweet.
So, but yeah, that's how we met. And he was just so, he's just so good with me and patient in a way that I don't know how somebody can be, because I'm just not.
Whatever. You're worth being patient for.
He's the best. And he just, he just loves me really well.
I love that.
Yeah.
And he's loving being here. What does he do again?
He's in banking. He does mortgage lending. He actually works mostly with like people in entertainment or in sports. That's kind of like their, like his group. That's what they do.
Yeah.
So.
He has a real man job.
Yeah,
he's a real man job.
Yeah, and I kind of love that. Yeah. I love that we're both not in the same space, because I think that's why he can be so grounded.
Yeah.
Because he just has a more like grounded, stable life, where mine feels volatile at all times.
No,
it does feel that way.
It might be scattered. I feel like that.
Yeah.
Our life is really all over the place. And that, I think maybe that's why we're drawn to real deep friendships, because the surface ones don't survive. You know, like what if you're asked to go co-host Good Morning America for a while? You might be. Like that could happen for you.
I would love for that to happen.
You know, but you'd be gone and you need people who are still going to show up. Hey guys, taking one last break from our episode with Hannah to chat with you about one of our super fun partners, Wild Grain. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes from frozen in 25 minutes or less with no thawing required. The team at Wild Grain just sent me a new box. So much delicious stuff inside. So let me tell you about it. We had 3 different types of bread, and we had croissants, scones, pastas. It genuinely is the dreamiest box I've maybe ever gotten in the mail. So far, my personal favorite has been the sourdough bread, but I cannot wait to make the croissants over the holidays. And now you can fully customize your Wild Grain box so you can get any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries you like. If you want a box of all bread, all pasta, or all pastries, you can have it. And for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box, when you go to wildgrain.com/CWK to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/CWK. That's wildgrain.com/CWK. Or you can use promo code CWK at checkout. It is no secret that God has deeply changed and shaped my life and the lives of so many of my friends. Let's just take a second and imagine that you didn't have access to a Bible, or if you weren't even allowed to have one. That is a reality for so many people around the world. Sharing that hope and peace with others is something that is so close to my heart, and that is why I want to tell you about one of our partners, Crew. Crew has missionaries in almost every country on earth, and they are seeing people come to know Jesus, which is amazing. There's just one thing that they're missing: a Bible in their own languages. One missionary said, "We found so many people reading their Bibles. Please continue praying for us. We still need more Bibles to distribute." So friends, let's meet that need. For $21 a month, you can provide 3 people with Bibles each and every month. When you sign up to provide 3 Bibles with a monthly gift of $21, as a thank you, Crew will provide meals for 15 hungry individuals through their humanitarian aid ministry. Plus, you'll receive one of my very own Coffee with Kaylee mugs. Simply text Kaylee to 71326 to help today. Imagine how much this gift could change someone's life. So text Kaylee to 71326. That's K-A-I-L-E-Y to 71326 to help now, or visit give.crew.org/Kaylee. Message and data rates may apply. Available to U.S. addresses only.
I had an opportunity that came up that ended up not like happening, like the concept hasn't turned into anything yet, but it would be for me to be in New York a lot of the time. And we had just moved here. And I'm like, okay, like, what do I do? But, like, I really would love to do something like this. I don't know. I'm still like, what would I do if that happened? But I think I already know because I have moved across the country and like people will always still be there for me.
Well, maybe that was the Lord. Maybe it's going to end up happening. Maybe you're going to be in New York for a little while. But we will still be friends here in Nashville, Tennessee.
But I think the Lord is also maybe the reason that paused is because I needed to still settle here. And I'm so glad actually that is just, it could happen. It couldn't. I'm so happy to be right where I am.
Yeah.
It's great.
What would your dating advice be to the people who are like, I'm still waiting for an Adam or someone who's good to me? Like, I mean, you're a professional. I think you could add to your resume, you're a professional dater because.
Yeah, I've done all the.
I've tried all the routes
to do.
Yeah. I mean, we apparently don't recommend going on a television show.
No. I would. Yeah. I would and I wouldn't. I loved being a contestant on the show.
Okay.
That was actually really fun.
I forget who that was for even.
Colton.
Yes. All right. Well, that didn't work out for multiple reasons.
Yeah. But
love that guy.
That was so great. It was a fun experience. And like for me, I'm like, oh, like if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's really not in your control.
Right.
It's not actually on either side. I don't know if it's fully
in
your control.
Yeah.
In that setting too. But being the bachelorette, that was really hard. I would not want like a friend that I love to do that.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
When people ask me like, should you do it? I'm like, I would not want somebody that I just really cared for to have to just go through that. Because what I've learned through dating is it doesn't have to be that hard. It shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, that's so good. It should not be that hard.
It should be easy. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that until I honestly met Adam that like even in all the chaos, it was easy.
Yeah.
And that is one thing I wish I would have known when I was dating younger. I thought like, oh my gosh, if it doesn't feel like these high highs, but these like horrible lows, then it's not love. And that's so not true.
Yeah. So not true. Yeah. That's usually when it's toxic.
Yes. But that's what I thought meant it was real. Hmm. And I've genuinely, like, one of the things I've worked on in therapy is like, do I know? Like, I remember going in one day crying. I'm like, I don't think I even know what love is. Hmm. And really getting down to what that is. And I think you can learn a lot about that through like how God loves us. But like that was hard for me because I never really saw that in the relationships around me. Like that just type of like easy, steady love.
Yeah.
But now I'm changing that and have that in my life. And that's really special. And for anyone that's like in those seasons and trying to like make it work with somebody that it's just like not like it's just not work. It shouldn't be something that you are struggling so much for. I do think there are, especially like when you're married and like in a long-term relationship, there's going to be seasons that are harder
totally
than others. And yes, there has to be somebody that steps up when the only one person can only like has 10% available. Like, all right, who can be there to like help? And then sometimes like you're both like in a season of like, I only have 40% and the other person, like I only have 20, but like being able to talk about that and find ways in your life to support you and people in your life to support you in that season. But when you're dating someone and it's new.
Yeah.
It should be fun. It should be fun.
It should be easy.
And easy. And if you're stuck in that, like just do yourself a favor and move on and stop putting in the time and energy. Because really what you're doing is just hurting yourself in the long run.
Totally.
Trust me, you don't want to see my therapy bill.
Well, it's like, when you're dating, when you're not in a committed relationship, mm-hmm. because life is hard. This is how I always explain. I'm like, life is hard. Hard things happen. Mm-hmm. And my relationship is my respite. Like, that is where I go for peace, to relax. Obviously, the Lord also, but like he is a safe mm-hmm. place for me to just collapse.
Yes.
He is not another battle that I have to fight ever, mm-hmm. really, truly ever. And it's not like we don't disagree on stuff, but we don't fight.
We don't fight either.
No. And people are always like, well, be careful, people who say they don't fight. I'm like, no, we disagree.
We disagree. We have a lot of like hard conversation. I think we have yeah. a lot of hard conversations.
Yeah. And as you should, like you're two people.
Yeah.
And, but we agree on truly so much that it's like, what do we even have mm-hmm. to battle about? You know, but I'm married my best friend and mm-hmm. he seems like best friend material over here, you yeah. know?
I mean, but I also know when you're saying that, I'm like, ooh, I'm the one that does have more patterns that I'm bringing into the relationship of like, even with this podcast coming out, I can get a little like intense and very high strung and things will bother me that I know shouldn't. I'm aware of that. And I will just have to be like, hey, I know I'm a little high strung and a little ridiculous right now. Just bear with me.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's like, you are. And I know. And it's okay.
Yeah.
He is like my resting place in that I can just even just say that and know that he's not judging me. But sometimes because of some of my patterns, I'm like, but are you sure you're mad? I know you're mad because I'm being annoying. I know I'm being annoying. He's like, no, we talked about it. I know you're stressed. It's okay. I'm just letting you do your thing yeah. and I'm here.
Wow. Angel man.
He's an angel man. But, and so he's really helpful of like when I am like going into whatever, like that pattern from like past relationships of being scared or thinking he is actually going to blow up on me. Like he's not. Yeah. He's like, we had the conversation. Thank you for telling me. That was big of me. I'm like, yeah, I normally wouldn't do that. But we've cultivated Growth. That type of relationship yeah. together. And he's like, yeah, you told me. We're good. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we had that this week, too, because I was just feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was trying to figure out coordinating the guests part and mm-hmm. the tricky parts of the less fun parts, because this is the most fun
the
part.
Logistics.
There we go. That's Those the word. Are Thank the you worst. For helping this pregnant no. brain. The logistics.
Yeah.
And I'm not a logistics kind of gal. And so I just want to like go make it happen. And I'm a fly by the seat of my pants kind of person. Yeah. And we'll see how it goes. And anyway, I was melting. And I was also pregnant and hormonal. And so I told him, I was like, I know I am losing it. Like I am losing pieces. My mind is falling apart. And I was like, I think I just need to cry for no reason and just tell you I'm overwhelmed. Because he was supposed to be here, you know?
Yeah.
And so this was supposed to be a lot easier. And when he is gone, I'm like, shout out to the single moms and the working moms.
Because I don't know how they do it.
Technically, I consider just like the travel portion of our life my job. Like yeah. keeping our family together and the logistics on that end is so much that is like my job. And this, so when this comes in, I'm like, oh, no, this is a real one. This is a real job. And how do people do this? Like, shout out to y'all. I see you and I am impressed by you because I was pregnant and overwhelmed. And he was like, okay, just cry. And I was like, okay. So I cried. And he said, what is the next thing you need done and how can I do it? And I was like, I need to pick my podcast cover. He goes, pull up the pictures. And I was like, okay. Like,
this was like is what Adam step does by for step. Me. Yeah.
And normally I do this for him.
Okay.
Because his life has way more decisions yeah. than mine does. Like mine's like, what are we doing for dinner? You know? And
yeah.
it's just more simple. And his is album covers and it is a lot more stuff. So mm-hmm. it was a sweet little role reversal. And it's in those moments that you're like, I'm so glad I married you. Like I'm so glad I pick someone I don't have to take care of because
yes,
yeah. I need to be taken care of too.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I learned being a mom. I was like, if I had married the guy that I had to take care of, who would be changing quite literally my diapers and this baby's diapers? You know, like what would have happened?
Yes.
So if you are still in your decision-making process of who you're going to spend your life with, find someone that feels like this, like that feels like home, is peaceful, practical with you.
Yes.
And can walk you through your meltdowns and also do the work yourself, though, of being mm-hmm. self-aware to be like, and I say this all the time, I understand this is irrational, or I know that this is just a me thing right now. Mm-hmm. And he then is given the cue to not have to fix it or not have to make sense of it. He's like, okay, she knows this is crazy. So how do I help her feel less crazy?
Mm-hmm. I noticed the other day, last night, I was being a psycho pants. And he has to hide when I see him like kind of laugh about it. Because I'm like, don't talk to me. And he's like, okay. And I know, like, he's at the point that he's like, okay, she's just doing her weird thing.
Yeah.
And can
we
just
all have him.
Smile. And then I'm like, but I need your help. And he's like, okay. You just told me not to talk to you, but no.
Yes. Yes.
He's great.
Patient.
I need somebody it's not beautiful. Like me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that I can be the one that's a little crazier.
Yeah. I think Russell was here, he would tell you he's the crazier one.
Yeah.
I really think that. But I'm still like, I get my feelings hurt, or I'm like, I understand this is just like, my feelings are hurt. I just need to say this. Mm-hmm. And he knows I harbor stuff. Do you do that as like a three? Do you like kind of just stuff things down? I'm working on it.
I don't. I think I used to.
Yeah.
Now I'm actually pretty confrontational in our relationships.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm like, I will say that wasn't okay. Or I didn't like that.
Oh, good. Good for you guys. Take note from Hannah over here.
I mean.
Wow, we both did that. I know. At the same time.
Yeah, I do. That's something that Adam is not confrontational at all.
Yeah.
So somebody has to do it. And I'm like, all right, we're not good. So let's tell me why you're mad at me, or what made you upset? I don't get my feelings hurt as much.
Ah, okay.
But I think that's also the environment I was raised in, pretty harsh.
Okay.
About like, there was no way to pretend when people like blow up a little crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think I'm used to a little bit more like being able to be harsh and get over it, where he'll be like, hey, like, you were kind of mean. I'm like, I wasn't mean, but okay. And then I can understand, but we just grew up in different ways. So yeah, I'm a little bit different in that, but deep hurts, like real, like things that like really, really hurt me, I think I do harbor. But like little, like when you can tell there's something like in the air and nobody's saying anything, I'm going to be the one that says something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like friends. I one of my best friends is like that. I like people like that.
Yeah.
I find it endearing. And that my friend is truly like that. Like, she just tells me everything that's going on in her life. And I think that's why she's good for me, too, as a friend, when I'm really tired specifically. Because you don't always have the capacity, especially as a mom, to like ask the most amazing question.
No.
To get, you know, and she will just be like, so this happened. And then she'll just tell me. And I'm like, thank you.
Yes.
For just telling me, instead of like waiting for someone to ask the right question or whatever. Mm-hmm. I really find that quality like endearing. And I love people who just tell you stuff. I really do. I don't know why people wouldn't like that.
I don't know why. I don't know if they do. But that's where I can overshare sometimes. Because I'm like, I just got to get this off my chest. Yeah. Like,
and I think I do that too, actually. Like, yeah. I just, if something's going on, I'm like, oh my gosh, guess what happened? Like, yes. I don't wait for someone to ask me.
But that's because you've created like people that you feel safe with doing that.
That's
with.
That's probably true.
I don't think I do that with always safe people though.
sometimes don't either.
But that's how I, like the first time somebody else really truly asked me like how I felt about things was on The Bachelor. And that's a very unsafe place to find that like freedom to share. Mm. So people ask me about that experience. I'm like, it was like the best experience of my life because I think I grew so much and somebody finally just let me just let the walls down and just share everything. But I wasn't always aware of like, oh, there's a camera rolling.
Yeah. You know,
and
there was.
They aren't my friend.
Right.
So that was like my first like type of therapy that was definitely not therapy. So I do struggle sometimes with safe and unsafe people to share with. But then on the flip side, I think once you've been in the public eye and then you do have some of those hurts, then you become like really like internal and aren't the best at making relationships because you don't know how people want to be friends with you. And if they are a good friend, I really feel like the past few months, maybe to Nashville, I've just gotten back to like me and not having so many walls up and the good parts of the way that I am, allowing that out and expressing that and feeling safe with the people that I do that with. Most of the time, still we have to work on that. And also just being like open to things. I feel so much open now to just whatever like life has for me, the relationships, the friendships, the experiences that are coming. I'm not like as scared.
I'm just so excited that you are starting this podcast journey. If you are tuning in, and this is the first time you've heard Hannah, go check out her podcast.
Yes. The podcast Better Tomorrow with Hannah Brown is something that's like additive to your day. I think that's what this podcast is too. It's feel good. You're going to feel better after you listen to it than before you press play. And that is really important to me. Like we're going to have fun for sure. But I also don't want people to think it's like super serious that you're not going to have fun. But it's just like the way that you feel afterwards is really important to me in the podcast. So I'm excited to have people start listening, or I guess they're already listening at this point.
Hopefully, they are.
But yeah, it's such a blessing to be able to have these conversations with people too. I have to remind myself, I get to do this when it gets really stressful and I'm overwhelmed, that a few years ago, I would never thought I would get to have a platform where I'm getting to talk to really cool people and then having other people want to listen.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So I'm just really appreciative of this experience and opportunity. And y'all listen along.
Well, I'm so glad you came to have a coffee with me and my friends. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Just cheering you on, my girl.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You got this. How amazing is she? And since recording this episode, she has gotten engaged, folks. She is engaged to Adam. How incredible is that? So go check out her new podcast to get all of the details of her engagement. I'm so happy for her and so happy we have a new friend here in Nashville. Next week, we have my girl, Kristen Brust. She is a fellow wife of a touring musician, a mama, and one of my all-time favorite human beings on this earth. She's like a unicorn in a person. I just cannot wait for y'all to get to know her and love her like I do. Talk to y'all next week.